Father, indeed you are the Almighty God. No one can rival you. No one can question your authority. Lord, you do what you do without seeking anybody's approval. You're the one that can raise the poor out of the dust. Lord, you're the one, oh God, that can dethrone kings and enthrone kings. Lord, you're the one who can destroy kingdoms and establish kingdom. Lord, there is no God beside you. In all the earth, the God who has humbled himself, who is it in this life that has the kind of power that you have and will choose to identify with mortal men, with mortal beings? It can only be you. We are proud of you for the things you've done, the things that you're doing. Restoring sight to the blind, making the crippled whole, causing the barren to keep house, and becoming a joyful mother of children. Jehovah, there's none like unto you. You are known for miracles. You are known for signs. You are known for wonders. The one who can make ordinary men extraordinary. Who can be compared unto you? The Almighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one to whom kings of the earth bow. You are the Almighty, self-existing. You are the only one that is righteous. You are the only one that is holy. You cannot be compared with your creation. You are the one who spoke all things into existence. You are the one who holds all things together by the word of your power. Your enemies, oh God, where are they? You rise and your enemies, they scatter. Jehovah, we magnify your name. We give you all the praise and all the glory that is due unto you, our God, the one who reigns and rules over the affairs of men. Blessed be your name. We hallow your name this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us alive. Thank you, Lord, for assembling us, O God, unto yourself. Thank you for your awesome presence, majesty on high. You have not judged us by your standard. You have not judged us by your ways. You are so loving. You are so kind. The merciful God, the everlasting Father, the soon coming King, the King eternal, the King immortal, invisible and the only wise God, our Creator, the source of life, the light of life, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things, the self-existing one, the one who founded the earth by spoken word. Jehovah, we bless you. Mighty God, we magnify and exalt your name. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for assembling us together unto yourself. The time has come for thou, O God, to speak to us. We have given you, O God, the sacrifice, O God, of our lips. Our hearts, O God, are open unto you. Lord, speak definite words into our lives to bring about the transformation that we need. That in all things, our Father, you continually be glorified. Blessed be your name, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give somebody beside you a high five. Amen. Today is an unusual service. All right. It's more of prayer. All right. And I hope we're all ready. It's more of prayer. If you want to see results in your life, today basically what we're going to do, because I remember I said to you, we're going to take prayer requests. We're also going to pray. Alright, you're going to pray yourself, we're also going to pray for you. And I hope you all came here with your prayer request. Some of you are quiet. I hope you're here with your prayer request. Question, answer, and prayer request. I've not forgotten. The fact that I have gray doesn't mean I... Praise the Lord. Alright, let me quickly do this and then I get this out of the way before we do that. Summary of Sunday school. Today's topic is very interesting. Managing resources. I will just move very fast on that. Our memory verse is taken from Matthew 25 verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. In other words, God wants you to profit. God wants you to increase. God wants you to enlarge. But he expects business acumen. Every child of God must possess and exhibit that same business acumen. He doesn't want you to just have your talent and just simply to bury it. The Bible was taken from Genesis 39 from verse 2 to 4. Now, what are the basic things that we're meant to know? Managing capital and natural resources, it is our responsibility. Capital and natural resources in our care must be properly accounted for. In other words, whatever God has given to you, you're also going to render account. If God gives you 10 naira, he wants to know how you spent it. If God gives you children,
He wants to know how you raise them. So accountability and transparency is also a part of God himself. He expects you, whatever he has given to you, he's going to ask, what I gave to you, what did you do with it? So it is important for us as children of God to also ensure that we manage our resources well. Your resources are to be properly controlled and used. One of the things that I always encourage Christians not to do is not to be impulsive spenders. Don't spend or buy impulsively. What is not, if I ask you, all of us that are in this house at this time, how many of us have a budget, personal budget for the year 2026? Let me see your hand up. We're all in God's presence. You have a budget. Aha, you see? I have a budget for my life and for the church, even for my office. I do that every year, all right? If I'm unable to meet the target, I carry it forward. Because nobody is marking my script. I'm the one marking my own script. All right? So if I'm unable to finish it, if I'm unable to accumulate it, I move it. All right? You cannot live your life on a daily basis without a plan. Financial plan, financial goals, financial targets are very important. All right? If you don't know how to set a budget, if you don't know how to draw up a budget, ask economists around you what it means to have a budget. Because you're going to work towards getting... Nigerian government does that. States also do that. Now, your budget is actually based on what the things that you want to use money to do. And how to also raise it. That's budget. You can simply say, some of you pay rent. Some of you want to buy your own house. Some of you want to buy a car. First, you must know how much is it to buy a car. How much is it to build a house? How much is it to buy a house? All right? In the neighborhood where you are, what is the rent? How much are they selling the house? So you sit down and you plot your graph. All right? What sort of business are you into? What is it that you can do that can bring the money? Do you know those who have plans, when you go to them and you ask them for money, they don't give you? Why don't they give you? Because you're not part of their budget. Don't eat into someone's budget. Do you understand that? Plan. Your resources are very important. Don't be wasteful. All right? Praise ye the Lord. What's that scripture that we normally refer to? I think it's Proverbs 8 verse 12. Please put it up for us. Proverbs 8 verse 12. Very quickly. While that is being done, abusing resources through any form of wastage is gross indiscipline. Money as a capital resource must be spent wisely and multiplied through investment. Now look at what he says. I, wisdom, dwell with what? What is it to be prudent? To be financially disciplined. That's prudence. Not to be wasteful. God is not wasteful. And he does not expect his children to be wasteful. He expects you to plan. To have financial targets and financial goals that you work towards. And that's what sustains you. You want to buy a car. How much is the car? You want to buy brand new. How much is brand new? You want to buy Tokumo. So you sit down and you do the permutation. Can I buy a brand new car now? If you can. Oh, can I exercise my faith and trust God with what I'm doing? Do you know that sometimes you don't even have to buy? Somebody will just come and say, look, I'm traveling out of the country. What do you have? Just give me anything. A car that is worth, let's say, 40 million. You end up buying it for maybe 100,000 or 500,000 or even 1 million. You'll be shocked. I know a friend of mine that bought a house. And with everything inside, generator, air conditioner, TV, everything, furniture, everything, at a giveaway. Because the person, the owner of the house, was tired of Nigeria. Look, when people are jackpying, be happy. All right? Someone says, I want to jackpot. Say, ah, that's your car, I'm interested. Say, hey, okay, how much can you pay? This is all I have. Oh. They will sell it to you. Because they're in a hurry to leave. But you need to plan. Alright? Don't spend money that you have not earned. Praise the Lord. Resource management also comes with a high level of integrity. Irrespective of the number of resources in your care, you must be honest about the way you dispense them. It is expedient that we take proper care and be productive with the resources or in our sphere of influence. Lastly, We need to know that we're holding forth for any resource in our care. We will give account. Matthew 25 verse 19. Managing people is also part of what we also need to identify. Every creature of God is useful if properly discovered and engaged appropriately. For those of us who have staff, people that are working for us, you must identify talent. You must identify strength and make use of them well. All right? God will bring people your way. You need to manage them well. All right? The four lepers, they were regarded as outcasts, but God used them to bring succor to the nation of Israel in the time of famine. The mighty men of David, we must harness the strength of the people of our society, of people in society, may regard as invalid and turn them from dross into silver. In other words, let the reject be taken. My boss used to say something those days. Give me a non-entity. Give me somebody that is foolish. Let the person come and work with me. 6 months, you will not recognize this person again. And I learned some things from him. As a young lawyer, once you just get employed by him, he can even send you to Supreme Court to go and argue a matter. Somebody who has just been called to bar. He never wants to hear, I don't have the experience. I don't have the capacity. Not him. 1 year. Some years ago, if you're not 5 years post-call, you cannot be either 10 years post-call. You cannot appear in the Supreme Court. The late Ganifa Emi had a young lawyer who was working with him. He was between 1 and 3. So he went to Supreme Court to argue. They were so impressed with his performance. This young lawyer, impressed with his performance. Because of him, that law, that rule was changed. Now we're going back to the old law. You know why? The people now have no debt. This social media age, no debt. No strong intellectual backing. No capacity. If you hear some people speak, you ask yourself, did this one even go to school at all? No commitment to research. It's what someone has said. It was Sister Buki who said this. So, and in recent times, in the body of Christ, what do you hear? You hear people quote their pastors. How many people quote the word of God or refer to the word of God? My pastor said, what is God saying? Have you discovered God for yourself in the Bible? This generation is weak. We're all guilty of it. We're a microwave generation. Some people find it difficult to fast. The day you say you want to fast, that's when somebody will now organize a party. And you can't go there and discipline yourself. Now, I'm not going to eat. Or not even go at all. If you know you're weak, don't expose to areas of life that will destroy you. There's a film I watched many years ago, something about a shopaholic, a lady. What was that? I've forgotten the title of the film. But this lady has a weakness. She cannot do without shopping. Anything she sees. Do you know there are people that buy brands? You want to buy a bag. You don't just want to buy a bag. You want to buy a brand. Oh, it is a Gucci. It is a Louis Vuitton. It's, what's the other word? Which other word? Fendi, Buki. You're there too. Very good. People buy brands. And so you walk around the clock. Many of us are wasteful. My boss told me of a pastor he met at Heathrow. Buying wristwatches. Like someone who was possessed. Now my God then is not born again. So he said he saw this notable pastor at this shop. Any wristwatch in sight, he was buying. And someone up there is to tell you the kind of brand he was going for. Not one, not two. I like this one. I like that. He was buying everything. All right. There's something about saving for the rainy day. It's called the Joseph principle. Why did God reveal the dream of Pharaoh to Joseph and told him how to go about it and what to do? Many of us don't delay gratification. When the time now comes, somebody went to meet my boss then and that his wife put to bed and he was asking for a loan. And he asked him, you got married? Yes. Were you not expecting that your wife would be pregnant? Yes. Oh, you want somebody else to carry your bukata? I'm sorry. You're grossly indisciplined. You're not a serious person. You knew your wife would be pregnant. You knew she would do, say it's called antenatal. You knew she would do antenatal. You knew she would do post. You didn't save. Now you're now running around looking for money. It's like people who also pay rent. You don't have a plan. You know when your next rent will be due. Why would you wait until when the rent is due? Start running around looking for money. Praise ye the Lord. Last thing, and then let me just conclude here. Peter, bring out the best in everyone, just as Jesus turned timid Peter into a bold evangelist. Everyone has some strength. And as managers of both human and natural resources, we must discover this talent in them and manage them. Humans are created with varying talents. These gifts should be discovered and used to the optimum. When humans are inspired, they will delightfully work effectively. Conclusion. Every resource must be seen as a gift that must be well managed to bless others. Now, question and answer. I will start first by throwing my first question. What made Joseph to be prime minister of Egypt? What made him to be prime minister of Egypt? First question. Who can help me with that? We know the story. Why? Or because it's coming from me. Today I want to be like Pastor Ronke. I'm borrowing your PhD. I want to use your PhD today. Right? So what made Joseph to be, how did he end up being prime minister of Egypt? No, not you now. You're sitting next to your wife. I'll give you the answer. Praise the Lord. Amen? Yes. Somebody please help me. Before I will now start taking questions. Why? What was it? Yes? Who? Yes. The wisdom in him. Alright? She said the wisdom in him. Alright? Any other person? You see, I won't say your answer is wrong, because that is your perception. Okay? So I will just go around and then I'll give. Yes.
He has a gift of interpretation.
He had the gift of interpretation. Right? God bless you. Yes? Brother Odi.
Fear. Praise the Lord. Fear of God.
He had the fear of God. Yes? Yes.
He was diligent and disciplined.
He was diligent and disciplined. Yes? Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
He was favored by God.
He was favored by God. Yes. Yes, my sister there. Perseverance. Okay? You see, we all have an idea based on what we've seen. But the answer is actually in the scripture. Yes, sister.
He walked in God's purpose.
He walked in God's purpose. God is with him.
He has the spirit of God in him.
Yes, same thing with her own.
So Pharaoh, he gave a revelation to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh thought like he would be the best person to undo the matter. So Pharaoh made him the prime minister.
Good. Yes, that's from Pharaoh's perspective. Correct. Any other answer? Okay, I'll just go straight to answering it. I would marry the response by Bro Olumide and my sister Ezine. Alright? Now, from the mouth of Pharaoh, after Joseph finished interpreting the dream, he said, look for a man to be given this responsibility in terms of what I have given to you. And Pharaoh responded by saying, who is there in the kingdom that has the spirit that you have? Now, each and every one of us, the day you got born again, God infused you with his spirit. There's a part of God that is in you. And it is the all of God. But we haven't looked inwards. Have you noticed this? I don't know, but let me just say from my own experience. There are times when you want to do some things. I want to buy something, for instance. And I get a check. You don't need it. And I stop. Why? There are times when money comes into my hand and I hear the voice says to me, Don't spend it. I want you to do this. All right? Why is that so? It is the Spirit of God inside of me. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the reason why he got that assignment was because of the Spirit of God inside of him. And no other person could manage the resources of Egypt like him. If God gives you direction, if God gives you interpretation, it will take God for you to sustain what he has given to you. A man of purpose and a man of vision is driven by that purpose and by that vision. And no other person in the entire realm could manage the resources of Egypt like him, because the revelation came to him. It takes a man of vision to be able to implement all of the things that God revealed to him. Are we clear on that? Alright? So if I ask you today, where is the Spirit of God? What will your answer be? You have no business failing in life. Quote me. It's because we have not discovered the Spirit that is inside of us. Please put up 1 Corinthians, I think 3 verse 16, and 2 Corinthians 6, I think verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 and 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16. And we use them to pray. Please, quickly. Know you not you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, I listened to one preacher, I've forgotten his name, and he said, when you're conscious of God's presence, you cannot but succeed. Poverty has no rule in your life, because all of God is what you have inside of you. 1 John 4 verse 6, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if the greater one in you, who created the earth, are you aware? He said, I am the Lord thy God, who giveth thee power to get wealth. That power is intellect. That power is wisdom. That power is instruction. That power is skill. That power is initiative. That power is innovation. Your ability to think outside of the box, God says, I have given it to you. Praise the Lord. Are we clear on that? Now, okay. 6 verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16, I think. Aha. And what agreement are the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living, it didn't say dead God, of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be what? My people. We are the people of God. We can't fail. We can't be poor. I listened to a man who is trending now, a pastor. He said, I cannot follow a poor pastor. Whether he's right, whether he's wrong, but that is his own conviction. Because there's an anointing that the man up there, Pastor Dobe, carries the anointing of holiness, righteousness, success, greatness. Every one of us who are pastors in the redeemed Christian of God, we carry the same anointing, because it flows from him to all of us and to all of you. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, so we can now take your questions. That's out of the way. All right. Your questions, and then we'll start praying. Who will go first? Questions, January to December of 2025. What were your experiences? Has the word of God worked for you? What is your faith like? Is God dependent on your faith? Is it you? Do you give God money for him to do what he has to do in your life? Those are the kind of people are out there. An example, somebody once said, why do we pay tithe? Who's chopping our tithe? You know, in Nigeria, we like to use the word chop. Who is chopping our tithe? Is it the pastor? I am not chopping your tithe. Praise the Lord. Yes? Questions? Yes. Olu?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, on a group chat, we're having this discussion. So, I just want clarity on it. So, the discussion is, we were saying God is the Alpha and Omega. God knows the beginning. He knows the end. But I was like, but man can make choices. We have the ability to make choices. So, my question is, like, in this world we are living, do we have the ability to change or to change what God has said would be, or we are just following what God has said would be?
God bless you. Very good question. Jesus said to Judas Iscariot that someone is to betray me, all right, in my journey of life. Why must it be you? Meaning, he was saying to Judas Iscariot, this thing is there, but you can change it. People change their destiny in the place of prayer. Jabez is a perfect example. His mom called him Jabez as a child of sorrow. If you read that chronology, you see that everyone had a father. He was the only one that didn't have a father. And his mother called him Jabez because, according to her, he was a child who reminded her, in quote, of her past. He could have been a product of maybe rape. She doesn't even know the father. He could have been a product of maybe fornication, maybe adultery. All right? But that young man didn't limit himself. Please, let's all go there very quickly. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Verses 9 and 10. Aha, okay, he's put it on. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh! You see, that word oh is a prayer of anguish, pain. He has reached a point in his life. Pastor Kumu used to say to us those days when we're in deeper life, that the prayer of the tired man is, oh Lord, let thy will be done. When you hear people pray that sort of prayer, they have tried everything that they can do, and it hasn't worked for them. Look at what he says. Oh, that thou wilt bless me indeed. He used the word indeed, let it be physical, let it be real. Enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wilt keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. My brothers and my sisters, are you aware that Jesus Christ will have refused to go to the cross and nothing will happen? But he got to a point. The Bible says when he considered the pain, the anguish, he said, oh God, let thy will be done. If it is possible for this cup to pass away, let it pass away. But if, at the end of the day, he paid the price. And that price he paid is what has brought us into the kingdom of God. Alright? So you can change the destiny of your life in the place of prayer. Okay? The fact that God has said this is what it will be. We saw Moses intercede and there was a reversal. We saw Abraham intercede and there was a reversal. God said, I seek for a man that will stand in the gap, intercede before me that I do not destroy the land. He has made up his mind to it. So don't let anybody fool you that the mind of God cannot be changed. It's not true. Alright? Please put up Isaiah 41 verse 21. Let me have Isaiah 41 verse 21. Isaiah 41 verse 21. What you guys are slow today now. Produce your course. Say it who? Are you seeing it? Produce your course. Say it the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. Say it the King of Jacob. Meaning, come and convince me. Plead your case. All right, you can actually plead your case and change the course of your life. I have done it before. Did you bring me into life to suffer? As you begin to talk to him, when God is so vexed and he gets up, change will come. Some of you, you'll see where you are today because you have not been able to plead your case. Praise the Lord. All right, question. Please, sir, kindly shed light on Isaiah 45 verse 11. The King James Version did not render it as other translation. Please take it in the context of Isaiah 45 verse 9. My version is good news. Is it right for clay to question the potter? How can we then command God? Aha! Praise it. Fantastic question. You know, I used to wrestle with this too. It says, according to the work of my hands, command ye me. Now, that word command ye me doesn't mean that the way we command, I can call my wife, Ita. She will obey. Alright? Okay. But that is not the command that the Bible is talking about. God is telling you, put me in remembrance according to my word. The only thing that can move God is when you say, "Hast thou not said? Is it not written?" And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 4 and also Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." If he has said it, put him in remembrance according to what he has said. So to command him is for him to act on his word. "Hast thou not said? Is it not written of you? Are you not the one who has said that you are the God of mercy? And that your mercy prevails over judgment?" When you say those things, you're commanding him to act according to you. But you cannot say, "I command you, Lord God Almighty." You can't do that. You can't do that. But you can command him based on his word. Are we clear? Because the Bible is full of that. No human being in the scripture commanded. A perfect example. Joshua was fighting. Alright? And the sun was about to go down. What did he do? He used his capacity, right, as a soldier of the Lord God Almighty by saying to the sun, "Stand still, you can't go down, I'm still busy." And that power has also been made available to us. If you want to go out, you see, people of the world understand the things, spiritual things, more than us Christians. A man comes out and he says, "Do you know that people fast and pray to kill?" He said, "Why are they fasting and pray?" Because in the kingdom of darkness, people fast in the Bible to kill Apostle Paul. They held themselves together and fasting and praying. But then, Christian, when it comes to time for fasting, you have not made your belly your God. How can you have power? Why is it that the Bible referring to Jacob, right? The body of Christ as Jacob, the house of Jacob, the church as the house of Jacob. Why? Because Jacob wrestled with God. Say, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." So when we talk about command, those are the, put him in remembrance. When he held on to God and God realized, if I don't allow this man to go or grant him what he's requesting for, I might not be able to leave him. And the Bible says, he touched his thigh, the hollow of his thigh, and distorted his legs. And as a result of that, he was decapitated, and God was able to leave. And God said, "From today, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel." Praise ye the Lord. I hope that has answered this question. Maybe I should also make other ministers to also contribute. If you have anything you want to have, Pastor Ronke, Pastor Dotun, Sita Busola, Momiwa, Ati Buki, Shade, anyone that wants to contribute, you can. Now, this person says, "Please, sir, it should be announced/ordered that people should stop fiddling with their phones during service." Yes. Aha. When you are, except you're referring to scriptures. How many of you here have gone to visit DPU? I'm not going to say governor, DPU. You've gone to see DPU. Do you go in with your phone? So if an ordinary man whose breath is in the hands of God Almighty can put a rule in place to stop you from coming in with your phone, my very first time of entering the villa, everything we had on us, they took. No phone, nothing. Before we could go in. EFCC, as an agency, you can't go in there with your phone. It's not possible. Whether it is just one officer you want to go and see, you can't go in. So if men have put those things in place, how much more God? I was sharing with the ministers how someone, in the course of proceeding in court, recorded a lawyer who was sitting in front, obviously a senior lawyer. He was watching pornography on his phone in court. The judge was seated and he was watching pornography on it, and they captured it. So you can see what the phone. You know, you can say, "I want to only use the word that is there." But there are distractions. Something will just suddenly pop up to offend your mind. That's why you must also be very. I don't have anything wrong with it, but the discipline is key. All right? Okay, so, yeah.
Sir, thank you, sir. Praise the Lord.
There's one other hand up.
I want you to expatiate more on first fruit.
First fruit?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Ronke, are you sure I won't borrow you for that one? You know why? Why I said they have made a doctrine out of it. All right? Fourth fruit is, for instance, it is customary and it is also acceptable practice in the faith. Your first salary of the year, you give to God as it were. You're not giving it to a pastor. You're not giving it to church. It is based on your relationship with God that you're appreciating him and you're giving him after you have taken your tithe. Whatever is left, you're giving to God. How you're going to get by is entirely up to you. Now, when I started working, first as, vacation job, all right? I was still in school when I started doing vacation job. So my first pay that I received from that company, mothers, God bless you. My mom, you want to chop it? It's not possible. So I was made to surrender all. She said, I'm teaching you what it means to appreciate people who are ahead of you. So she took that from me. That was my first fruit. My first salary as a lawyer, I didn't spend anything out of it. I paid my tithe. I gave the rest to her. In addition, she said to me, I'm also going to teach you how to also manage your home. All right. So after the first subsequent things that I was collecting, she was also getting money from me. It wasn't as if, although at the end of the day, she also spent it. Give me money to keep the house. You're of age because you're working. I need to buy Gary. I need to buy this. That you're being taught how to live when you get married. And today, my wife is here. You can ask her. I don't even bother to ask her. Kilovera. Some men will say, Elulu need, come and take. I don't do that. Once she comes, I need to do this. Psh, go hire her and do it. Sometimes she will also use her own money to do it. It's not as if when she does. Praise the Lord. So that's first fruit. Alright? So I don't know, Pastor, I don't care whether you want to add to it. Alright? That's the way I understand first fruit. But it's because it has now been abused by men of God. So we must be very careful.
Well, if we go by what scripture says,
yes,
first fruit is your first earning.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can say, okay, it's the first, like Pastor said, even traditionally, we say, okay, your first salary, go to your, just like a pastor's mom did, that was what my father that also did, my first NYSC, then salary. My father collected it, and although just took something for himself and my mom and returned the balance to me. That's the first thing. But first fruit, the Bible says that we should bring our first fruit. So it can be your first salary as you're starting a job. It can also be your first salary as, you know, the first salary of, that's January salary every year. But the fact is, like as that Gio has taught us, it can be your full first salary. That's just, it's sacrificial. That's one thing I think we should hold when it comes to first fruit. First fruit is sacrificial giving. And then when we give first fruit in January, you have said everything this year is in your hands. And there's no way you give your first fruit that you won't see a difference that year. Now, you can also say, okay, you want to give first fruit, can also be the increase. The yearly increase. Say, for instance, my salary as of December was 100,000, and that salary becomes 110,000 in January. I can take that increase that is on my salary also as my first fruit of the year. But giving the whole salary as first fruit is sacrificial, and you know that there is no sacrifice you make. And the way they say it, the highest bidder owns it. So the higher, the greater your sacrifice, then the greater, the more the blessing that accompanies that sacrifice. So first fruit is your first salary of the year you give to your God. But you can also choose to give, as you know, just like we said this morning, this with the same measure you give that comes back to you. So you can give the full salary, you can give the incremental, that's the increase on your first salary. That's according to Bible.
Praise the Lord. But please, I remember I added the bit. Take out, because you see, you have two levels or two responsibilities towards God. One is his own covenant relationship with you, which is your tithe. Take out your tithe. Give it to him. Whatever is left, don't spend it. Father, this is my commitment to you as my first fruit. You appreciate it. In fact, the way my mom said it at that time, she said, it is saying, thank you for giving birth to me. Thank you for sending me to school. You understand? So with God, you're saying, thank you for bringing me to 2026. Thank you, Lord, that in the course of last year, I didn't spend any money on any hospital. I didn't need to go to any mechanic and my car didn't break down. So you're appreciating God for what you have experienced in the course of the year. That is first fruit. It's like a fruit of appreciation, which is a gift unto God. Don't bother whether it is being used by a pastor or not. As far as you're concerned, you're giving to God. Don't allow anybody come with any other message other than that. Because recently I saw a man, a pastor who was saying, first fruit is mine. Nobody should touch it. Almost like placing a curse on the people. And they say, no. That's not right. Yes, you're the one who is in charge of the, you're the one running the church. But the first fruit is meant for God. So you as the priest of the church, well, the church, if you're the founder of the church, you can help yourself, but don't make it seem as if, he said, it's me. Nobody. I'm not going to share this money with anybody. I do not agree. Because the concept of first fruit, one, it is cultural, as Pastor Ronke said. The other part is, it is also spiritual. Because my mother-in-law, you see, I enjoy being around her, or I enjoy having her around. You cannot do anything for my mother-in-law without a prayer. Help her carry bucket. Oma told you, prayer is always coming out of our mouth. I'm amazed. Anything you do for her, we give us, say, okay, driver, my mother-in-law will start with prayer. Praise the Lord. Yes, any other? I think I saw someone's hand up there. Yes. If you ask me a question I cannot answer, I'll pray in tongues.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I have a question and
You're a visitor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's good. You're no longer a visitor.
I want to ask from the aspect of a father.
Aspect of a father?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because I'm a father. And if one goes out and sees what's happening, and you see the proactiveness of God in the olden days in the Bible, and you see it now, you wonder if God still exists.
You wonder if God still exists?
Yes, sir. Mm. There's hunger. There's everything we can't even mention now. And back then, Jesus shows compassion by making bread multiply. God shows his power by feeding the Israelites. And this generation, if you notice, many young people, they don't even want to send who is God. Because when you pray, he doesn't answer. When you ask, it's as if he's taking the back seat and wait and allowing you go through suffering, pains. Then later he will say, why didn't you wait for me? But I've prayed. You didn't answer me. Go to the hospital, sir. You see things, pain. People are going through and they are praying to God every day. He's not hearing them. And in the end, he wants to say, why did you go to native doctor for healing? And he didn't heal them immediately. My question is, why is God quiet, sir?
Very good question. No, please. Fantastic question. You're going to serve God. I'm being honest with you. You know why? I got born again through questions like this. So it's nothing new. It's always there. When these things happen, God is drawing you closer to himself. All right? Because you are at the point where you're not doubting his existence. Based on your mindset of things you need to see. But guess what? All of these issues you have raised, there's none that is outside of the scriptures. It's there. And I'll give you an example. Not too long ago, in Kenya, somebody wanted to travel to U.S. I went to meet our pastor. The pastor raised a team to pray for her. That when she gets to the American embassy, she'll be given the visa to travel. They prayed, they fasted, all right? They did everything spiritual. She went to the embassy. She was denied the visa. Pastor was disappointed in God. Church, everybody, they were all disappointed. The sister herself was disappointed. She withdrew from church and stopped going to church. While she was going through that, a young man in his own house and in a church was praying for a wife, that God should give him a wife, and went to visit this particular church for the first time. When he was leaving, two ladies approached him and asked him if they could ride with him. He said, no, they can come in, no problem, all right? So the lady who asked him sat in front. This lady that was denied visa sat at the back. After some months, she just decided, let me just go to church, whatever it's worth, all right? The very day she got to church, she met this guy, sat at the back. While the guy was driving, you know, men, when you see something that is fine, you won't look away. So he was using the rear view mirror to sight the lady who was sitting at the back, and he was getting ideas. Now, long and short, he proposed to her. They got married. She wanted to go to America. The man works in the company that seconded him to one of the, you know, a lot of people that work in oil and gas companies, Chevron and Mobil, they always go to the U.S. His company sent him to the U.S. with his wife. God has answered two prayers. He killed two birds with one stone. You see, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The way we expect him to respond is not the way he will respond. Does he answer prayers? My brother, I am a living witness of God's faithfulness. I don't tell people scriptures. I connect with them. I did an exam. I was close to failing. And I started praying. And then one day, I went for a crusade. While at the crusade ground, his voice said to me, you will graduate when your mates are graduating. You will have your certificate when your mates will have their certificate. But guess what? Today, I refer to Jeremiah 32, 17 and 27. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Nobody, it was not a pastor that told me. It was God himself that took me to the scripture. When I refer to Isaiah 41, verse 21, it was because of what I was going through at that time. I shared it with my wife. I was in that room. Even though we have moved out of that house, anybody that stays in that room will encounter God. Why? Let me take the chair. Sorry. I had a reading table in my room and a chair. I pulled out the chair and left the reading table. And I said, Lord, sit down. We need to talk. All right? I was talking to an empty chair. I was pouring my heart out to an empty chair. What happened? Because I happen to be the only boy. My mom didn't really have time to be buying things for me because she didn't want her daughters to be corrupted by men. All right? Because for her, this boy, he will always get by. So she wasn't really committed to buying things. So my friends used to give me things to wear. On this particular occasion, you know, sometimes when people don't abuse you, you will know God. So I wore something that wasn't mine. All right? Doctor, what size is your jacket? 56. Let's say you see what he's wearing. And I go to him, ah, doctor, I like this jacket. Maybe he has many. So I said, please, can I borrow this particular one to use? So he lends it to me, and I wear it. Now, those who know both of us, they've seen him with that particular jacket. And then at the party, someone else says, Wickers, is it not Pastor Dotto's jacket? What is he doing on you? You see the way he said, I didn't find it funny. It was a disgrace. I was sad. But God needed to catch my attention. When I now spoke to that empty chair, the presence of God came into that room. I fell under the anointing and something left me. That was the last time I ever asked anybody for anything in my life. If I didn't experience it, you know the challenge we have, this generation, we are in a period called dispensation of grace. All right? God will always give everyone opportunity to repent. Is he still speaking? Yes. But guess what? Many of us, our activities have made it difficult for God to speak to us or for us to hear him clearly. If you want to hear God speak to you, take time off. Fast. Pray. Consult him. People say the best time to really commune with God is between the transition between an outgoing day and a new day. And that's between 12 midnight and 2 a.m. If you check from the Bible, the time when Jacob wrestled with God, it was early hours of the morning. Because he needed to leave. Alright? If God says, call unto me. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great. Have you gone to him to say, did you not say I should call unto you? I'm calling unto you now. We just read the story of Jabez. How the destiny of his life changed. Alright? God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind. The dispensation of old, where he passed judgment on people almost immediately, has been addressed by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what has brought us into salvation. It's what has brought us into... The Bible says, godly sorrow, what does it do? It brings forth salvation. When we're sorrowful of our misdeed, of the things that we've done, salvation now comes. So my brother, God is still God. He's still speaking. There's hardly anything that is happening today in life. Can I shock you? When Jesus Christ was murdered by the Jews of that time, do you study your Bible? Do you? The way you're not, do you study your Bible? Is that your wife sitting next to you? Your husband is going to serve God. He's still quarreling with him now. He's looking for excuses why not to serve him. And he's getting lots of excuses. But he's going to serve him. Mark my word, he's going to serve God. And he's going to be a great minister of the gospel. Alright? And I'm saying this under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, when Jesus Christ was crucified, what did the Jews say? Can somebody help me? What did they say? He said? No, apart from that. Yes! Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. So the blood that should be for redemption is not judgmental. And that's why they have been murdered, been killed. That's why Hitler will waste so many Jews. That's why Hamas will be attacking Israel. A curse has been placed on them by their forebears. My brother, whether we like it or not, evil is real. This society... Oh my goodness. There's so much darkness. There's so much wickedness in the land. And that's why Christ came. If some of us must know this, Steve Jobs decided not to go to church again because of Biafra. He said, how can there be God and people are suffering like this? How can there be God and people are starving? But guess what? God is still God. One fact of life is this. Men will live, men will die. When you get to the world beyond, you're going to stand. So discover God for yourself now. Does he answer prayers? Yes. Is he still there? Yes. I did a case for a man who had been convicted for death. Kirikiri. He got born again while he was in Kirikiri. He committed murder. He killed his own friend. We did the case. I called Court of Appeal, Supreme Court. After Supreme Court said his sentence and conviction is affirmed, he was to be executed. I went to break the news to him in Kirikiri. Today he's an evangelist. When I got there, he said, Mr. Quakers, God has already revealed your office to me. I'm coming to see your office. I have seen your office. I'm coming there. I thought because he had been on death row for a very long time, he had gone wacko. He had gone cuckoo. I just said, you know, there's a way when someone talks to you, you say, oh, yes, okay, it is well. I left him. Some months after, he strolled into the secretary just called me and said, oh, one Mr. Ono Akalu is at the reception. He wants to see you. I said, tell him to call me. I said, wait, let him wait. I'm coming to see him. I dashed to the reception and I saw him seated. He said, Mr. Kukas, did I not tell you that I'm coming to see your office? What happened? After being on death row for over 20 years, Obasanjo became president and commuted his life sentence or death sentence to being set free. Obasanjo said, all those who have been on death row for 20 years and above should be released. And that's how he came out of prison. Now, we should be upset that somebody who committed murder has been set free. But that is not God. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are, I don't do things based on your own sentiments. That's why I'm God. I can choose to forgive a man. After all, Apostle Paul, right? He was Saul. What did he do? Didn't David commit murder? David also committed murder. David committed murder. Did he not forgive him? That's why God is God. If God were to destroy us today, the thoughts and imagination of our heart would not allow us to exist. Bitterness, resentment, hatred. Some people are smiling and laughing with you. Meanwhile, they're doing crazy things behind you. And if God is to judge them by that, how many people can stand? I was at a meeting where Pastor Deboye said, shall we pray? God arise and let his enemies scatter. And everybody, your enemies are God. Yes, let them scatter, let them scatter. And God, Pastor Deboye said, okay. God said, these six things do I hate. Seventh, an abomination before him. A lying tongue. Are you lying? Do you lie? You're saying he shall arise and let his enemies scatter. If you're a liar, when he arises today, you will scatter out. By the time Pastor Adeboye was done, thank you, nobody could say a word. Because we're all guilty of one thing or the other in those seven sins in the scriptures. All right? My brother, relax. God is still God. When your child, how many children do you have? Only one, a boy, right? You see, as that boy is growing, and when you look at him, when he does some things that you're not comfortable, what do? Is that? Yes.
Sir, the Bible said...
You said, sorry. You want to add to it? Okay.
The Bible said if a man cannot take care of his family or those of his household, the man is worse than an infidel. And we are of God's household. And God is not taking care of his own household. Is he not worse than an infidel?
No, that's an abomination. Your wife is, no, sit down. No, don't run away. No. I'm happy you're raising concerns. You're raising questions, all right? Everything in life, listen to this, everything in life, including your life, who put it in place? When you sleep, my brother, when you sleep and you wake up, right? Do you make yourself to wake up? Do you make yourself to sleep and to wake up? Do you make yourself to see the next day?
But the challenges God has put in place for man to go through, and he's doing nothing about it.
No! You see, that's why you need to study your Bible.
Sir, I've studied this Bible from Genesis to Revelation more than three times.
No, you see, the Bible says, no, listen, don't condemn him. Jesus said something. He said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. If you have an open mind and you approach the scriptures to understand some things, there are times when I sit and I say to myself, how can the creator of the heavens and the earth come down in the likeness of men to interact with men and be insulted? Look at what you're doing now. All right? To be insulted by men and restrain himself from showing forth his strength. When Jesus Christ walked with his disciples, Peter was so upset with those who came to arrest Jesus Christ. He brought out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. What did Jesus say to him? Hey, you don't understand. The spirit that is in you is not given to violence. In the past, you would have done so. But this dispensation is not all of that. God has made all things available to us. But the challenge is this. Many of us do not take God by... Read Deuteronomy 8:18. I think it's 18:8. Deuteronomy 18:8. Look, you know it? What does it say?
Sir, my dad is a pastor.
Ah!
When he fell ill, God took his sight. We all prayed. He was praying just to be fine. He passed away this morning, and God did nothing about it.
My brother, see, look, I feel for and, you.
And God was just there looking at him.
No, see.
And many others are going through a lot.
My brother, God will remain God. Talking about sight, have you heard of Prophet Obadari of Christ Apostolic Church? Obadari prayed to God to take his eyes. He said because he doesn't want to see evil in the society. He served God until he died. My brother, to the glory of God, God sustained your father as a pastor. You know what? Nobody is guaranteed for it to live as a human being, flesh and blood for life. We all have our day with destiny. But the joy of every father is to see the children has given birth to. You've gone through school. He sponsored you through school. And I want to believe he saw you got married. He saw his grandchild. For him, if your dad, if you pray now for him to come back, he'll say to you, why? I prefer there than here. We've had cases of people who have been prayed back to life. And they say, why are you disturbing me? To see in this simple world, no. Life there is better. Because you see, as human beings, we have two levels of existence. The physical existence and the spiritual existence. When you are asleep, you're actually dead, in case you don't know. It is His grace that wakes you up. Because there's a purpose for your own existence. Your dad has handed the race to you. He has handed the baton to you. You're the one to now run this race. With your own child. The mistake that he made in the past, you're the one to correct all of these mistakes. Whatever he has done, God has kept you. Do you know the story of Eli in the Bible? Since you studied the Bible. What did God say to Eli? You know the story. Eli happens to be a servant of God. A modern day Jew or Dio or general superintendent or pastor. But he disappointed God. Why? Because he did not bring up his children to fear God. God said concerning Abraham, he said, I know him. He will raise his children to fear me. My brother, thank God that for the life that God gave your father, he has finished his race. He has ended it. He has handed it over to you. You're the one that will continue from where he stopped. And make the best of life. For yourself, for the family, for your wife, and your son. Have you bothered to ask yourself, how come your first child is a boy? Have you bothered to ask yourself? Do you have any making on that? Was it your doing that, oh, my first child must be a boy? You have no control. That child that you have is a covenant child of a covenant-keeping God. Because he said the child that comes out of the womb, if he's a man, a boy, he should be separated unto me. That's that child, is the covenant child. Praise the Lord. Yes, Pastor Ronke, you can add to it. Please, after service, yourself and your wife, please see me.
Praise the Lord.
I need to see you. Hallelujah. Yeah.
My brother, please, what's your name? Because I want to talk to you directly.
I'm John.
John. Did you say John?
John.
Okay.
John the Baptist.
Brother John, I want to thank you for what you have said. Because you see, a lot of Christians today have what you have been bold enough to say out in their hearts. And they never say it. And a lot of them, because of that, get into depression till they lose their salvation. So first and foremost, I want to say thank you for expressing what a lot of people have in their hearts. Two, you spoke out of pains. You spoke out of pain. You spoke out of disappointment. You feel that God has disappointed you because God, you said you were talking as a father. So you expect that God as a father should watch over. And is God watching over us? You see, because God is really a father and he watches over all of his children. And so, yes, there are so many people in the hospital. There are so many people that cannot feed their families. There are so many people that are dying, not because they are not praying, not because they are not crying to God, but it just looks like this God is not answering answers. And we begin to ask ourselves, does God really exist? Does he really answer questions? And our answer to you this morning is that God exists. He is a living God. He is alive. And does he answer questions? Oh, yes, he does. He answers questions. But I'm going to leave you with this. You see, God said he has given us this earth. That's what God said. He has given us the earth. And what did he ask us to do? He said we should dominate. He said we should be fruitful. He said we should multiply and we should subdue. Now, so whatsoever happens on this earth is with us. And you know the greatest thing that God could do for us? He gave us a son. And then Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit. Which means that those four mandates that God gave us naturally, we now have the ability to achieve them. So if it looks like works, why is it not happening? Why are we not seeing it in our lives? But we need to look inward. Because the Bible says when we ask, when we don't get, when we don't pray, it's because we're not asking. And then when we ask, maybe it's because we ask amiss. So my word to you this morning, please, when you get home, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I want to encounter you. Pray it with your heart. So, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to encounter you. I say, pray it without any doubt. And then you will see the hand of God in your life. I don't know what the pains are, but I'm telling you, he is ready. He can carry that body, and he will carry that body. All you need to do is leave it out to him. You see, all those needs that you think is not meeting, you will get to have more than needs. The Bible says it will give you more than you need. It will give you sufficiently, even more than you need, so that you can share with others. The first thing it needs from you is your heart. And the second thing, and I know, okay, your father was a pastor, so you were raised from a Christian home. Maybe religiously, maybe truly by the word. But I'm telling you that you see, it looks like God is not, but it's not with God. It's with you. That is why you need to search your heart. You need to search your own life. Is it that I am not hearing? You need to tell God, what do I need to do? Maybe it's been trial and error for you. Everybody is doing this, I want to do it. So maybe it is time to now go to God. That's why I said earlier, the first prayer you need to pray is, Lord, I need to encounter you. Sincerely, I feel your pain, and my prayer for you this morning is that today the Lord will touch you.
Amen.
He will open your eyes. He will help you. He said, they say he is the God of the helpless. He will help you. Everything you need to be a father, the Lord will release to you.
Amen.
Everything you need to be a husband, the Lord will release to you.
Amen.
Everything you need to be a son, the Lord will release to you.
Amen.
Everything, and you see, very soon, you will come and roll on this altar.
Amen.
Because of the encounter you will have with your maker.
Amen.
That's my prayer for you. And I know that the Lord will touch you today. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me cap it up since a pastor's son. While I was standing there, the Lord said, what you did here Job also did with him. After Job's life was messed up, so to speak, Job challenged God. Job asked God all kinds of questions. Look at God's response to Job. Chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is it that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, and answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened, or who laid the corner stone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness or swaddling band, and broke up for it?" My decree, place, and set bars and doors, and said, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shalt thou proud waves be stayed." Now, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place? Meaning, have you woken up to a point where you're saying to the things happening around you, enough is enough? And that's the essence of what Pastor Ronke was saying about God giving us the place of dominion. And Jesus Christ showed that example. Alright? Oftentimes, and this is a lesson for us all, the things that we ought to do, don't expect God to do them. He has given you the power. "Behold, I give unto..." Please, somebody read Luke 10, verse 19. "Behold, I give unto you authority, power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." God does answer prayers. But there are times when he expects us to stand our ground. Enough is enough. Otoge? Alright? If you pray and he does not answer, he doesn't change. He's still God. There are times when we pray for things because he's wiser than us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end. Alright? My brother, a perfect example, for instance. Do you want to be a liability to anybody in life? Abi? God has wired you not to be a liability to anyone. And so every day of your life, be thanking him for that. There are those who can't walk without somebody holding them by the hand. There are those who can't eat without being induced to eat. So the sort of prayer you'll be praying is a prayer of thanksgiving. That God sustained your father's life, he gave birth to you, saw you through school. Look at the privilege. There are those out there, no father, no mother. Desire to go to school, they can't go to school. Desire to get married, they can't get married. It's painful to lose a loved one. But that doesn't mean we should question or query God. What God wants from us is for us to know him. For us to be drawn closer to him. To appreciate his ways. Alright? Are you clear? Alright. God bless you. Yes. Any other question? Because we're going to pray. You see why God said we should have this program. Right? We're going to pray. There are some prayer points that we're going to take. Yes, any other question? You have one? Okay, please. Let's hear from her.
My question is, why is it that Christians commit sins even more than people that call themselves pagan and every other person? When we come to the body of Christ in the church, we see a lot of people sin so much. Even especially people that are closer to the sanctuary, they are worse.
My sister, I cannot query it. You're 100% correct. Alright? But guess what? It's not the first time, and it won't be the last time. Jesus picked a disciple who was a thief. Do you know who that disciple is? Eh? You don't know who the disciple is? He personally picked them. Mark 3, 13 to 15 says, he went to the mountain top and called those that would be with him. So it means all the people that he called to be with him at the mountaintop were all spiritual men. All right? The Bible says, after they had been with him, he now released them. It turned out that one of them was a thief. He was a traitor and a murderer. When Jesus looked at him, Jesus had pity, compassion. We know pastors who are living in active adultery. Active adultery. I've said it here. I can't speak for others, or I can speak for myself. If you know anything about me, I'm living a dual life. I have a girlfriend somewhere or a wife somewhere. And I come here and I take the microphone and I begin to preach and I want to lay hands. Please, by all means, do not allow me to lay my hands on you. Because this work that we're doing is very dangerous. You see, that person's destruction might not be immediate. You see, because God is a God of patience. He will allow you, he will give you an opportunity to repent. If you do not repent, we've had cases of pastors falling down at the altar, ushers standing and falling down and dying in church. Because you cannot afford to pollute. Paul said something. If my liberty will make my brother or my sister to sin, I must check myself. I must stop it. If you find me at a beer parlor drinking with my friends, even if I have a bottle of Coke in front of me, what will be your impression? If you find me at a nightclub and I say I went there to evangelize, will you believe me? When I begin to do all of those things that they're doing there, I say, ah, pastor. So he says, because of the liberty that I have, I must not abuse it. Because if you come to church now and you see me, maybe you saw me at a nightclub, or maybe you have a friend that is my girlfriend, and she says, that man is actually my boyfriend. Who? If I stand here and I'm ministering, what will you be doing? If I say all eyes bowed, all eyes closed, you will say, Lenwe. I can't even preach against sin. So look, my sister, God says something in Ezekiel. He says, if you know someone who is living a life of sin, and the person calls himself God's own, and the person is living in sin, he says, and you don't caution that person, he says, I will destroy that person, but I will require his blood from your hand. And that's what keeps me going. Anyone that I see, I will tell you, ah, please, oh, don't do it. Oh, it's not right. Oh, put an end to it. Because I'm also accountable for your soul. You see, God has done it in such a way that we are our neighbor's keeper. We must watch out for each other. If you find someone who is not doing right or doing well, say it. Tell the person. Come to us to say, ah, pastor, I saw one of your pastors. Oh, the kind of feelers I'm getting, this person is on. Do you know some years ago, somebody, an unbeliever, walked into church, not here, one of the churches where I was, and said, there's a sister in your church. I know her as a prostitute, even till now as I speak. And she's an usher. He said, because of that sister, I'm not going to come to your church. So I said, who? We investigated and discovered who he was referring to. She was a night crawler. She got born again along the line, but she didn't stop. We had to ask her to leave. Do you know the number of people, even here, that people are also watching out there? Say, ah, this person calls himself a Christian. Look at the kind of life this person is living. And it's affected. Many of us are crucifying Christ the second time by the life we're living, by the lies we tell, by the things we do. All right? If any man be in Christ, what does the Bible say? All things are past, all things are become new. So anyone that you find now, that person needs to rededicate himself or herself to Christ. We've had cases where our Father in the Lord has also told us about pastors. All right? So if you know anyone, you can see me privately, even here, and tell me, no, I'm serious. Because I'm accountable for all of you. I'm telling you, if I hear things and I do not address, whether it's here or anyone that you know, that is, tell me, we will address it. Praise the Lord. Yes, are we done? God bless you. All right, shall be upstanding. Hallelujah. We're still going to continue. All right? We're going to do, by God's special grace, before the end of the year. Maybe in March we'll do another one, or maybe in April. All right? Now, there's a prayer point. Just one that we're going to take. And it's taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, from verse 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2 from verse 23 to 25. Quite a number of prayer points, but we'll start first with this. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. And I'll ask us this question before we take the prayer point. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. All right, are we there? It says, and it came to pass in process of time. God is the God of what? Times and season. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God does not move until he finds a man to pray. God does not move until he finds a man in agony and in anguish, which we saw in the life of Jabez. The Bible says, Jabez groaned. He said, ah, Lord God, thou who made the heavens and the earth, thou, Lord, you brought me into life. Should I be going through what I'm going through? And the Bible says, and God answered him. Today, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your challenge is. I don't know what you're facing. The year has started. Today is 18th day of the month of January 2026. Lift up your voice and cry out unto him. What is that thing that is holding you down? Who is that Pharaoh that has held you down? Is it your company that has refused to pay your salary as and when due? Is it your landlord that's constantly harassing you? What is that thing that is troubling you? What is that thing that is disturbing you? Go before God and pray. The Bible says that God, he heard their groanings. He saw their anguish. He saw their pain. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. The Lord, I have been on this spot for too long. It's time for me to get to the next level. My promotion is long overdue. I cannot continue with this sort of life. Lord, I need you. Is it some sickness? Is it some infirmity? Today can mark the end of whatever it is. Are people looking down on you? Have you been applying to one university for so long? No admission. Have you been out of school looking for a job? No job. Cry out to God. Ask him for his intervention. The Bible said, and God had respect unto their request. What is your request before him? Is it marriage? What is your request before him? Is it to travel? What is your request before him? He's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Do you have brothers and sisters that are directionless? Or you have a spouse that is directionless? Not disciplined, living a life of carefreeness. You can ask God to touch the heart of that your sibling, of that your spouse, and he will do it. Whatever the pain that is in your heart, release it to him and see him turn it around for you. The Bible says God heard your cry and remembered his covenant. God has a covenant with you. And that covenant is the covenant of joy. It's the covenant of gladness. It's the covenant of happiness. Anything that is making you sorrowful is outside of his covenant with you. Cry out to him. Today, the 18th day of the month of January, will mark the turning point in your life. What you desire from him, you receive. From today, enough is enough. You have been in that valley for too long. It's time to go up higher. Have you been trekking for so long and you've been saying to God, Lord, I need a car. I have suffered. People have derided me. This month, Lord, answer me. Provide a car for me. In this month, how you do it, I do not know. Lord, this month, make me an occupant of my own house. You build houses for midwives. You can build a house for me. He said, with you all things are possible. Do the impossible in my life. That all men will know and hear that this is God. Make my life a testimony of your greatness. Of your majesty and your power. In the name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be. In Jesus' name, we are praying.